This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. What's the go with scorers, Barry?
What do you mean?
Well, in the Waikato Bay of Plenty, you could probably say there's a lack of people that know how to use compass and score at normal tournaments. It's been described to me as Hamilton is moving into an area where no one has ever moved before. And that is the Hamilton Swiss Pairs that's running over 3 weeks on a Tuesday afternoon, face-to-face. Wouldn't have been a problem if it was online, but it's face-to-face. And we're having to reach out. How many real scorers have we got? We have James Barnes, Anne Williamson, Mike Neal, who really understand compass. And that's about it.
Well, that is a little worrying for me, seeing as I'm directing this thing the first round. I'm pleased to say I'm only directing the first round, so let's hope it's all sorted out for the second and third rounds. But yeah,
Mike Neals is able to, via UltraViewer, be operating as a scorer remotely. So yeah, if anybody is interested in scoring in the Waikato Bay of Plenty, there is a need for it. I wonder if there's a need for it in all other regions. Because not everybody runs on compass, yeah?
There's a lot of compass in the Waikato Bays, but I don't know how much of it there is in other parts. There's not as much of it, I know that, but I'm sure it is in other parts of the country. But there's other systems in play, aren't there?
You've heard of X clubs. I'm picking there's probably about more than half would be using compass. Would that be right?
No, you don't have to be using compass to be on X Club.
Okay.
You know I know very little because I'm a Luddite. I do know that you do not have to be on compass to be in X Club. So that's not a guide as to how many there.
So how do the files are prepared right at the beginning of the year and they're all loaded in. Is that correct?
You're asking the wrong person here. I don't understand. For anybody who's listening who doesn't know what X Club is, it's where a lot of clubs throughout the country play the same cards and they're scored across a massive number of tables, like hundreds, you know, maybe a couple of hundred tables in a lot of cases. You get a different score to what you get at the club. So particularly if you're playing in a club with only a few tables, it's quite an interesting exercise to see how you'd fare across the country.
It is. So tomorrow I'm getting some hands-on experience with compass as a scorer. So be another, what do you call it, another string to my bow?
Okay. So the South Canterbury Congress was won over the weekend and they had one or two problems with scorings and things. We know how that can happen, so I do sympathise with them. The winners of the teams on the Saturday was the Fisher team, Blair and Liz Fisher and Sam and Joe Simpson. They won the teams. And on the Sunday, the pairs was won by David Taylor and Jane Lennon. I'm not able to bring up the results yet. I have it on good authority that they won that from Blair and Liz Fisher in second.
Okay, well, at least they got some results out.
Yeah, they did. Over the weekend, there were a few tournaments held. Victoria in Wellington, they had a multi-grade pairs won by Nigel Kearney and Eason Liu by a long way. 10% from Christine McCurdy, Sandy McCurdy, Ellie Malloy and Ellen Grant, who was second equal. Queenstown had a 5A pairs on as well. That was won by Harry Shepherd and Kevin Scarapata from Paula Bowie and Duncan Badley, all the way from Auckland down in Queenstown. Long way to go to win a 5A.
Okay, Danny Burke, Scott Smith, Jack James. Jack's having a great score. Noel Woodall and Carolyn Yeomans were second. Oh, there's a friend of mine came in fourth, Hans Van Bunnet from Palmy. Ifayakine. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novices and our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow.
Good morning, Ross.
Morning, Mariana. Morning, Barry.
Morning.
I'm almost there with a photo montage of your travels to various bridge clubs. So keep taking the photos, and it'll be quite cool to post it soon.
I've got a question for you, Ron.
Yes, Barry.
You play at the East Coast Bays Club occasionally, do you, or not?
Yeah, twice a week.
Twice a week? Oh, okay. My question for you is, how many sessions of club bridge do you think you play in a year?
Oh, Barry,
I have a reason for asking this.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Including online?
I tell you what I did. I went on to X Club, and I noticed that you can actually click on there to rank them in order of the number of sessions a person has played on X Club in a year.
Oh,
I
really?
I think some of the X Club is online, isn't it? I think it might be. The leaders, believe it or believe it not, has played over 200 sessions of club bridge in a year, which I think is pretty awesome.
Really?
You weren't one of them, by the way, Ross, but what I noticed was the top five all played at East Coast Bays.
Yes.
East Coast Bays must be doing something good.
That's amazing. Yeah, I suppose I play 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 3 online. So you can play about seven a week.
Whew. Okay, well, that would get you over 200, wouldn't it, in a year?
Yeah, maybe 6.
But you didn't appear on the list. I didn't see you towards the top. And I mean, I got down to people who played 137. It'll only be, I guess that's the only sessions that are scored on X Club these people play.
Yes. I don't think Walkworth is in the X Club.
Oh. Ah, okay. So there could well be people that aren't on this list that play over 200 sessions of bridge in a year. That's quite an achievement, I think.
Well, people still enjoy going to the club. You know, we have lots of enjoyment, lots of arguments and fights and things, but we still enjoy sitting at the table and actually playing proper, not real bridge, but proper bridge.
Well, there's one lady on here, and I know she's, I'm not going to name her, but I know she's approaching 100, and she played 72 sessions in the last year. I think that's quite a good achievement.
Not bad at all. Yep.
Not bad at all. Anyway, Ross, that's your aim, is to make it onto the X Club list. I wonder if Walkworth would consider joining the X Club thing. I mean,
don't
it doesn't
know.
Cost them anything.
I had never heard of it until about 2 weeks ago when Jack James mentioned to me that a partner and I actually one night got top of New Zealand. I said, what the hell do you mean, Jack? You know?
Oh, really? Oh,
this X Club thing, yeah.
Anyway, we better get on to what news you've got, Ross. I've sidetracked you.
You have a little bit, but never mind. That's okay. Just a few results. Cambridge had a junior tournament, and that was won by Jesse Bradley and Dennis Van Manen from Rotorua.
They had a 74, I noticed, Ross.
Pretty good result, yeah. There were quite substantial gap between them and number two. Cambridge had a novice tournament, which is quite rare. There's not a lot of those going on. And
no,
Peter
that's
Col-
right.
Colvin
yeah.
and Robin Pell won that, which was nice for them to get a little start in their bridge career. Down in Napier, they had an intermediate with Catherine Laughlin and Bernie Schroeder winning that one. I find it quite difficult with some of the restricted tournaments and open tournaments to get the best intermediate or intermediate junior pair. I do send an email to the clubs sort of on Monday morning or Sunday afternoon, but some of them don't apply. So, you know, everybody's busy. And some of the clubs are small, so they don't have full-time staff. Timaru had a big weekend with their regional congress. The intermediate pairs, won by Kat Holmes and Leo Hammond, a couple that we met last year at Congress. Actually, this keep the East Coast Bays theme. Kat, actually, her parents live up here, and when she's up here on holiday, she plays at East Coast Bays, Barry.
Nice.
Well, there you go.
And now more about East Coast Bays. Right, because the one that I played in, not personally successfully, but very enjoyably, was the Waitemata Restricted, and the top intermediate pair there was Deirdre Oliver and Alex Shun from East Coast Bays.
Nice.
And it so happens a winner of a restricted tournament has to have a gym club member in. So our gym club member that won that one was Sue Jury from East Coast Bays, playing with Nick Eglinton from Auckland. A lot of celebrations in East Coast Bays this week, I would
say. Yeah, very cool.
Actually, I recognise that name, Sue Jury, because when I was looking at the people who played the most sessions on X Club, Sue Jury was third on 193 sessions for the last 12 months. Oh, I just happened to notice that name.
I'll have to mention that to her. Yeah, you thought it was Judge Jury, did you?
That's great. Where's your next tournament this weekend?
This weekend, playing on Saturday at Auckland Intermediate, but on Friday, there's the online tournament. Now, the poster that came out said there's an online open tournament, which is fundraiser for the youth team, Mariana, your crew. Yep. And the open tournament is well subscribed, like 24 tables. But the intermediate junior tournament has only about 12 or maybe less people, not even tables. Considering it's a national tournament, every gin club member should be thinking, what am I doing on Good Friday? After I've been to church, of course, I can go and play bridge all day with my lovely partner. And it's not very much money, but it should be really good bridge. It's very, very poor entries.
Ah, so we need to push that. So come on, people. It's a good opportunity to get online because we don't have that many options nowadays.
Not specifically for, I mean, there's plenty of options, but not specifically for intermediate. So I was really surprised.
I mean, online opportunities, I was meaning. We don't get that many.
Correct. Auckland have got a nice new initiative that they're starting. They're having a specific Sunday afternoon, and I think it's Tuesday morning, really encouraging juniors to come and play. And what they're doing is they're opening their doors to juniors from every club in Auckland or every club in the country. And you can play as many times as you like. You don't have to join Auckland Club. You can just come as a visitor as many times as you want to and pay the normal Auckland Club table money, not pay the extra for visitors' table money. And they will give you a partner if you ask them for it. They'll give you an intermediate or an open partner if you want to hone your skills with somebody a bit more experienced. And they're hoping that they're going to get a really good response for that. They're starting on the 18th of April, I think, but there's a poster available on their website if anybody's interested in that. It's just another gin club initiative that I'd like to mention. Jody has organised that. And, Alex Shan is the director, I think, on Sunday afternoons. Young Alex is directing those sessions.
I quickly looked at the intermediate junior Swiss pairs you mentioned online. They've got 8.5 tables at the moment, so they had a couple more, but still I'm sure they'd like a few more than that.
It's not many from a whole country. The other thing I just wanted to raise again was the disparity among the clubs, the allocation of prizes at tournaments. I'm sure that every club seems to do it differently, and some of us know what our favourite template for prizes is, and I just wonder how we get that message across to the clubs. Would that be a regional thing or a national thing to try and just make sure that everybody is reasonably happy with the allocation of prizes at a, let's say, a restricted tournament or an intermediate tournament, which is what I'm most interested in?
I think that is personal to the clubs. There's only a guideline of the percentage of entry fees towards prize giving. Is that right, Barry?
I think that is right. I'm pretty sure that a lot of clubs either don't know about that or don't follow it. I think clubs are pretty much can do what they want. I remember hearing a story, Ross, from a guy telling me once that he finished sixth in some Christmas tournament somewhere, and his prize was a painted pine cone. He left it at the club, I believe.
I would imagine he would do, Barry. Yeah, sometimes there's no session prizes. At a restricted tournament, there's no prize for the top two intermediate, top two juniors. And I just wonder, a little template would be valuable, but that's only my view. It reflects the view of quite a few of our colleagues in the intermediate section. Hey, Barry, just talking about restricted tournaments, how are you going with developing a system for you and me for our tournament, mate? You got it sorted?
Excuse me for laughing. Best you do it, Ross, and send it to him.
Have to keep pestering him about it.
No, you do it and send it to him and say, we're playing this, read it and learn it.
He'll probably say, oh, that's too simple.
No, he'd like that if it's simple.
No. I'm going to say that. We'll keep it as simple as we can, Ross. The less room for error, the better I'll like it.
Let's do that then. So,
sorry, I'm not laughing at you, Ross. I'm laughing at Barry.
I know.
The question was awesome.
I know, yeah.
We got 2 months to work on this system yet, so
I need a bit of time though, Barry. I don't have a great memory capacity, so I need to know pretty well in advance.
Send him the system card that you and Deidre play, and he can learn that, and then you won't need to change anything.
Right, okay. Today's quite an important day for my home club of Warkworth because they're considering the proposal for the intermediate tournament for next year at their committee meeting in a couple of hours' time. So that's on the table. And a group of us have also put a proposal through to Auckland Region for a little intermediate tournament circuit, a bit like they do in Waikato Bays. Yeah, slightly different. Yeah, we're trying to ramp up the interest and activity and the fun factor, if you like, in the intermediate and junior section in Auckland. And hopefully, if it's successful, you know, others will look at it as well.
Well, as you've said before, Ross, that's where most of the players are in that groupings. You know, why wouldn't you?
Indeed.
Catch up with us next week.
So long as they remember the motto, they'll be okay. Observer omne, neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week. Light it and
send it out. Send it out now.
Yeah,
well, so Auckland will be shouting out because on NZB is all about the Auckland Bridge Club and Remuera Bowling Club merging.
So that's going to be quite a big thing for them. It might take a little while for it to happen. I think they've got permission to stay in their club rooms for some time because it's going to take a little while, I guess, to get everything together at the bowling club.
Yeah, pretty big job, isn't it?
Hopefully good for the future of Bridge in the Auckland area.
It says here in the article is that Auckland Bridge Club are looking to stay where they are until approximately October 27.
It also said that they were going to invest 40% of the funds to give them an income, I guess.
40% of the proceeds from the sale of the Bridge Club.
Of the Bridge Club, invested to secure the long-term financial health of the new club. Good on them. On to more mundane things. How are the lessons going at the Hamilton Bridge Club? I heard they had 5 tables on the Tuesday lessons, 20 players.
And 4 on Thursday. That's good. 2 rounds of mini bridge, and this week they're actually going to get their very first lesson.
What's the first lesson going to be about?
So it's a nice and easy one level opening bids, reinforcing finding a fit first. Some people prefer to start with 1-0 trump. What's your preferred lesson order?
Oh, I don't know. I've tried both. It's a long time since I've done the lessons. We started off with the 1-0 trump. It used to be always the 1-0 trump opener first. And then we switched over and I don't know whether either seems to be particularly better than the other, but whatever floats your boat.
I think from me, I prefer the suit first. They don't know which is better, do they?
I guess it sort of seems more natural to talk about suits first.
Some of the mini bridges actually know trumps. It's like, do you have an 8-card suit? Between two hands when dummy goes down. No, you don't. So you're playing no trumps. And then again, the next one it says, yes, you do. So I don't think it matters.
I heard a funny story the other day when I was directing about somebody who said he never opens a no trump. He absolutely hates opening a no trump. So he never opens a no trump. But on this particular day, his partner had told him he had to. So he opened a no trump, which is a very rare occurrence.
Yeah.
And his partner said, 2 club stamen. And it went pass, pass, pass.
Oh, okay.
There they were in their 4-4 club fit.
Oh.
I don't think it worked out particularly well for them, but it wasn't terrible. They played in their club fit. They made 4, but they had enough points for 3 no trumps, unfortunately.
Oh,
there you go. Have you ever played in Stamen, Mariana?
No,
have you
ever
played in... Well, you haven't lived. In fact, now, I don't know why it is, but a lot of the beginners do not want to play in 1-0 trump. They absolutely hate playing in 1-0 trump. They'd rather play in a suit.
So maybe that's one reason why we always teach suit contracts first. But then I can hear the other people saying, no, if they don't like no trumps, start with no trumps and get it out of the way. Who would know?
But that's how you start off with 26 and end up with 12.
Yeah.
I mean, half of it really is, I mean, probably more than half is that you do want to make it fun for them, don't you?
You do.
You want them to enjoy it and want to come back next week.
That's right. Yep. Bribe them with something. And chocolate biscuits is not the way to go with bribing them. They couldn't give a toss about chocolate biscuits or normal biscuits if the lessons are boring. So if you think all you need to do is bring them chocolate bickies, you're wrong.
So it's tough out there. We'd love to hear from anybody else who's started running their lessons for the year. How's it going? What are the numbers like? What are they doing to keep them all entertained and coming back?
Well, I see the Teaching and Learning Committee, they've got their online lesson series starting in 2 weeks, and it's $8. It's all about improving your bridge from home. This is for bidding tips for intermediate players.
Oh, okay.
This is for April, and in May, they'll be playing the hand for newer players. So you get two shots. You get Sunday between 4 and 6 and Tuesday between 7 and 9 for both, $8. So you can go on Sunday and then repeat it again on Tuesday. Registering is easy. You've got to go to NZ Bridge Hello Club, put some money in your account.
Bob's your
and
uncle.
You'll get a real bridge link before each lesson, and you've got questions and answers. There you go. E hare ake nei. Coming up next, we're at the courthouse.
To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Good morning, we have the bailiff this week. How you going, Patrick?
Fine, thanks, Marianne.
That's good. Big weekend ahead for you.
Yeah, 4 days of bridge.
Nice.
You're playing on Friday as well. That's good.
Because there's the online on Friday. Although I'm not playing that with you. I'm playing the other 3 days with the judge.
Oh, nice.
So you're just limbering up for the judge on Friday. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's practice for me and Dave Kinsett, who I've been playing with from Masterton.
Oh, okay.
I saw that name. Yeah, okay.
He's a partner that I won an intermediate tournament with.
Nice.
That was last century, of course.
About 1979 or 1980 or something.
God, but I drove out from 1979,
I'm
still at school.
Don't be rude.
Now, the question for this week was, I was directing last week, because I always get a bit of material. This lady opened one diamond out of turn, and her left-hand opponent did not take the option to accept that. So it went back to the dealer, who was on the lady's right. He opened one spade, and she decided to overcall two diamonds. Now, I decided that to me like it was comparable bid. This comparable thing gets me sometimes, but I thought it was...
I've always pronounced it comparable. Comparable or comparable, however you pronounce it. The rule is that it's got to be a bid that's basically the same or more precise than the call. So here, I think that a two-diamond overcall is about the same as a one diamond opener, because most people, when they ever call at the two level, they're showing sort of like 10 plus sort of thing. My way of thinking, that's close enough. It's just a judgment thing for the director, but I don't when it's a one level overcall. So if you reverse those two suits and say that she opened one spade out of turn, and then when it went pass, they opened one diamond. So now if she wanted to overcall one spade, I would say that's not comparable or comparable, because people who overcall one spade, they might have sort of like, you know, as few as 6 or 7 points. So now her partner would have extra information. They know it's a good one spade overcall. That's why it's different. And the rule says if you don't rule that it's comparable, then you can't allow their partner to bid after that. So
that's what happens, is it, Patrick? So if they do overcall...
My interpretation of a two-level overcall is okay and comparable, but a one-level overcall is not. It's not enshrined in the law, but I have discussed it with a few other directors, and you know, we agree that that's a pretty good interpretation.
Yeah.
Because, okay. So what happens here then? If it goes one diamond, what are you going to say to the person who...
I would say, no, look, if you overcall one spade, your partner will be passing. Now, we could discuss, is there anything else you can do? For instance, if they played intermediate jump overcalls and they had a 6-8, I would say, well, if you bid two spades showing 11 to 15 points, then at least 6 spades, it's more precise. It's about the right range, and it shows the extra spade. So it's comparable because it's comparable or more precise. So if they played intermediate jump over calls, I would let them bid two spades. But if they're playing weak jump over calls, I would not. There you go.
Well, obviously, they're allowed to bid two spades, but their partner will pass.
Precisely, yeah. You'll have to do something. I mean, sometimes they look at their hand and they've got five spades and a diamond stop, and they take a punt at four spades or three no trump if they're strong enough, or a pass score if they're not strong enough. And that's up to them. But whatever they do, their partner has to pass. Some people think of it in terms of like many, many years ago when you were at school, Barry, they had geometry and you had sets and you had circles and whether they interlocked. So if you think of it as being, if you've got a subset, if you've got a smaller circle that's within the big, the information, think of the information you're parted with the bid you weren't allowed to make, right? And what does the information impart with the bid you're suggesting making now? And if it's sort of like totally within that, then that's good. If it's only partially within that, then that's not so good. And the example that we've given with the overcall is it's pretty much within it. You could argue that it's not quite completely. That two-level overcall is near enough in the same information. That's my interpretation. Although I haven't discussed it with lots of directors, I've discussed it with some. And yes, no one's really argued with me on that point. So let's just say it's a general interpretation, but that's the rule. The rule is a bid that means the same thing, or pretty much the same thing, or something even more precise, but not something that could be different in some cases.
So did you do the right thing as a director, Barry? You let her have it.
Well, it sounds like I did. I mean, it sounds like it's up for debate a little bit, but it sounds like it was reasonable.
No. When it comes down to it, at some stage, while most rulings as director are really straightforward and you say, here's the rule, go for it, just occasionally you get one that's a decision. You're going to say whether you think they've got a bid that's clear enough after hesitation. This is one of those things that could be a judgment decision, but that's the way it goes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
See what happens this week.
Have a good week, bye. Patrick.
Okay, nice and short today.
Yeah. He's really awesome, yeah.
Well, that's about it for this week, Barry. What's your famous last word?
Do you think you're going to get on the X-Club list, Mariana, for playing over 200 sessions of Club Bridge in a year this year?
I can categorically get the gold medal and say no. I'm struggling to get one club session a week, Barry.
You've got to play 15 times to get on the list, I can tell you that. At the moment, I'm not even on the list, so I've got a bit of work to do.
Okay, if you're playing Bridge this weekend up in Auckland, you shall see Barry. He's playing in the teams. Have fun at the tables, people.
You're playing at the club this week. See if you can get to 200 for the year.
Okay, see ya.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring Bridge from beginner to international, nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.